My name is Olivia Budzinski. I am 15 years old. Today is November 24th, 2017, and I'm speaking with Carrie Budzinski, who is my dad. We are recording this interview in Canton, Ohio. Tell me a favorite memory of me.
Well, I have a couple of you, Olivia. We'll start with the funny one. As you recall, your brother played football at Mount Union College, and you were just small when he played football there. And they had a, what do they call it?
A mascot.
Their mascot was a great big bird called Macaw. And as a little kid, I recall you once walking behind Macaw because you wanted to give him a hug. And he turned around to cheer so quickly, and he ran you right over. And you were just laying there, and all the people in the stands saw it. And it was funny, but then I was also worried about you. But that is one of my favorite stories. The second one is when you were in the eighth grade and got the lead role of Sandy Dombrowski in the play Grease.
And surprised you remember the last name.
Oh, I remember the last name because it's a great Polish name. You know, being a Budzinski, we certainly do appreciate a Dombrowski. So I was happy that that you did get that role, and you did a fabulous, fabulous job, and I was just really excited to watch you.
Hey. Tell me about the day I was born. How did you feel the first time you saw me and held me?
Well, you know, you were the fifth and final child, and me and Mom were a little older when we had you, and Mom had a tough pregnancy, and so those last probably 4 to 6 weeks she was really on bed rest. And so I think the first thing I felt after you were born, just a couple weeks before Christmas, and you did come early, you weren't supposed to be born until after the first of the year, I think I first was just relieved that Mom had a healthy baby. And then I remember looking at you and said, oh my God, this child has no hair. You were pretty stinking bald, but you were absolutely just beautiful. And I thought, this is pretty awesome. Our final child will be a little girl, and it'll be fitting for me as your dad to be spoiling my little girl. Being the youngest, you'll be spoiled. And I think you can attest that you are. And so it was just exciting to see you and to hold you.
How has being a parent changed you?
Well, you know, I think before you become a parent, most of the things that you do and focus on in life really are about yourself. Once I became a parent, it was, you know, a lot of the joy that I would get would be through watching my children succeed or just learn things or have fun. And you really start then to go back and look through life through the eyes of your children, and that's kind of how it's changed me.
Tell me about where you grew up and what your childhood was like.
Well, I grew up in a suburb of Cleveland, Ohio, Maple Heights. You know, they weren't big fancy houses. Everyone was pretty much blue-collar workers in factories or that. What I remember is there were no video games or things of that sort to get entertainment. What we did is we played all the time with all the kids in the neighborhood. And it wouldn't be unusual on a summer day for me to get up 8:30 and run outside and get with the other kids in the neighborhood and run up to the ballpark and play baseball or just ride our bikes all day or just play with the hose. You know, we didn't have swimming pools. The way you got, you know, cooled down on a hot summer day was having water fights, balloon water fights, those type of things. And kids just, parents didn't move in and out of the neighborhood. So, you know, we pretty much, you know, some of my best friends today are still kids that I grew up with that just lived around the house. And I just remember playing all the time and having a great time.
Are there any funny stories people tell about you from when you were growing up?
Okay, well, I just told you that we grew up in Maple Heights, and one of the things we all played was sports. And I can remember, particularly during basketball season, they would have the slam dunk contest. And in the neighborhood, we're all like, man, wish we could slam dunk the basketball, but the hoops in our yard were just too high. So I figured out, you know, if I roll out a few tires and lay them on their side and put a piece of plywood over, we could run down the driveway with the basketball in our hand, spring off the plywood, which was sitting on the tires, get high enough to dunk the basketball. And so we set it up at my friend's house first, and he goes, well, you go ahead and try it, man. It looks kind of dangerous. So I remember running down the driveway, leaping off the plywood. I slam dunked, and then I'm realizing, wow, am I high? So I just held on to the rim, and I ripped the rim right off the dude's backboard. And so, you know, one of the things that I was known for was pulling people's rims off backboards in the slam dunk contest in Maple Heights. You know, after about two seasons of doing that, you could pretty much drive up and down the street and see about four or five homes that had rims ripped right off the backboard and never put back up. And people would say, yep, that's where Carrie Budzinski was dunking the basketball.
What was the worst thing you did as a kid?
Well, again, we played outside a lot. Sometimes we always didn't do nice things when we were playing. I remember in the winter months, we would lob snowballs deep over the house and into the street to try to time the snowball to hit cars that were driving by. Not to cause accidents or anything, but just for fun. That's what kids did. And I remember we kept lobbing the snowballs and could never hit the car because the car would go too fast or wouldn't go fast enough. And we were just throwing snowballs around the neighborhood and not hitting anything. So then I said, doggone it, next car that comes by, I'm not going to lob it. I'm just going to fire it right at it. So a car comes by and everyone's watching me and I didn't lob it. I just fired it and I nailed the car. I said, now that's how you do it. And the next thing we looked is all of a sudden the red lights turned on because I had just hit a cop car. And so we started running like crazy through the yards to get away. And the cop car stopped and backed up and was trying to keep up with us as we were running through the backyards. But we did outrun the policeman in the car. And so we never did get caught. But I remember that probably wasn't really a smart thing to do. And then another story.
Wait. What does lob mean?
Lob means kind of throw it high in the air. So the car was coming and you throw the snowball real high. And all of a sudden, boom, it would just land right on the hood or that.
Okay, go on.
There was another time we were playing, hitting golf balls in the backyard and just chipping them around. And we were aiming for, we put a hula hoop out there and we said, hit the golf ball into the round hula hoop circle. And we weren't getting the ball up in the air and we were shanking golf balls left and right. And I said, doggone, you got to swing a little harder. So I swing hard and I hit the golf ball and it was going high and far. And the next thing we knew, it was going too high and too far, and it went right through the neighbor's window. And, we learned probably shouldn't be hitting golf balls between homes.
What do you miss most about Papa?
What do I miss most about Papa? Well, Papa had just wonderful hugs ever since I was a kid till up into my 50s, right before he died. He was a great, great hugger, and he didn't even have to say anything. He could just give you a hug and you felt his love. And certainly miss that and miss just sitting talking to Papa. It didn't matter if we were talking about work or family problems or sports. He was wonderful. He was a great listener, wonderful to talk to because he had so much life experience that he always gave great direction and great advice. So hugs and talking to Papa I miss the most.
Okay. Tell me about the best or worst person you've ever worked with or for.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about the best boss I ever had. So I had just graduated from Cleveland State University, got a job with the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, and they put me in a retail store to learn the tire business. And there was this older store manager named Bobby Howard. And I was at the North Randall Mall Goodyear location. And I remember, I mean, I didn't know squat, you know, about tires and everything. And he took his time, and this was a tremendously busy store. He took his time to teach me everything about the tire business. When we would go on sales calls for fleets to sell them tires, he would take me with him to kind of just show me the ropes on how to take care of, you know, and how to do a sales pitch on selling tires to fleets. And then anytime he'd go on vacation, he'd say, nope, Carrie's in charge here. I'm this 22-year-old kid. And he'd leave me in charge of the store that had 25 associates and everything. And he really taught me a lot. And even today, he's in his 70s now. He still works part-time for Goodyear. And I still often call him, email him, talk to him when I need advice about something in my career. So he's been wonderful to work for and to work with over the years.
And you still work for Goodyear.
And I still work for Goodyear 32 years later, thanks to that first boss I had, Bobby Howard.
Nice. Thank you for sitting down and doing this interview with me. I enjoyed it, and the stories are great.
Well, you're very welcome, sweetheart.